God, we just want to thank you for tonight. Thanks for Thanksgiving. Thanks that school's out. Thanks that we can have a break. God, would you bless our night tonight? Would you help us as we talk about leadership habits and how we can apply those to our life and how we can be people of character? God, we ask for your strength. We ask for a fun vacation and break. Would you keep us safe as we play and hang out and bless all the food that we're going to eat? Would you bless our friendships even tonight as we hang out together? And we pray in your name. Amen. All right, so you guys, we've been doing a series called Habitudes, talking about leadership habits and attitudes. Today is part three, so we're going to take a look. We've done character, we've done convictions, and tonight is about competence, which might sound kind of weird. What does it mean to be competent at something? So if I asked you, are you competent at math, what would that mean? Are you good at it? Can you do math? Are you decent at it? Yeah, okay. So if I asked you, are you a competent bicycle rider? What would you say? Can you ride a bike? Okay. Yeah, all right. So those are some basic things, right? But if I said, are you a competent skydiver? Okay, that might be different. Okay. Are you a competent pilot? Okay, might need to get some training and get a license for that. What if I asked you if you're a competent driver? Anybody got a driver's license? Some of you who don't have a license might think you're a competent driver. Yeah. All right, what if I asked you, do you have mad go-kart skills? Okay, now we got more hands going up. Mad go-kart skills. Very nice. Who thinks they are the boss when it comes to a Nerf dart war gun thing? Yeah. Nerf Wars. Sweet. Yeah, you can handle that. Do we have any gymnasts in the room? Who is a competent gymnast? Okay. That might be like basic gymnast. Okay. Okay. How about a swimmer or a diver? Do we have any swimmers or divers in the room? Okay. Yeah. All right. One thing to do something at a competent level for recreation, right? Another thing to do something at a competent level for competition, right? Are you with me? So, like, you know, you got your basic swimmers and divers, and then you might have, like, your semi-pros, and then you might have, like, your Olympic athletes kind of thing, right? Okay, different levels. Sure. All right, so that's the word that we're gonna talk about tonight. If you remember, Tim Elmore in his book talked about crossing the seven C's to leadership. The one that we are doing today is competence. We've also talked about character and convictions. Next time we get together, we'll talk about commitment. And then the last three are courage, charisma, and compassion. All together, those make up some good character of leaders. He defines competence this way. I know my unique abilities and use them to solve problems. It's kind of a basic definition, a starting spot, but it didn't really feel like it really helped me, so I thought we needed to define it a little bit more. So if you remember, he likes to use pictures to describe all of the chapters in his book and all these ideas. So here's today's picture. Today's picture is this this bridge, okay, this wooden bridge with all these planks, railings, that goes from one side of this like canyon or gorge to the other side, right? Perhaps, you know, maybe there's a valley or a river or a creek or something that might go underneath, but here's the idea is this. It's the bridge principle. That leaders don't build character without crossing the bridge of discipline. Personal discipline is like a bridge that crosses from where you are to where you want to be. It gets you where you want to go. So let me ask you this. Think of something you're good at. Did you just like wake up one day and you were good at it? Or did it require a little bit of discipline or perhaps some practice? So any of you guys play a musical instrument of any kind? Maybe you weren't awesome at it the first time you picked it up, okay? And maybe you had, like, the baby's xylophone and you got, like, mad skills at age two. But probably you weren't Mozart, okay? I'm just going to guess that maybe it took some music lessons, right? Who's into sports? Anybody like sports in the room? Okay. I'm going to guess the first time you competed, you maybe weren't, like, that amazingly awesome at it. But some sports come quickly, some are harder to work at. But I'm going to guess you had to go to a sports practice. I'm going to guess you had to do some types of sports training. And if it was an individual sport, that might have been all right. If it was a team sport, it might have required you actually playing with other people that you might have had individual talent, but learning how to play together as a group sometimes requires even more discipline and more practice. So let's take a look. We're going to define competence this way. that it requires those two things I talked about, practice and discipline. So if you look at the planks on that bridge, that each plank is discipline, and then the next one is practice and discipline and practice, and it repeats all the way across to where you want to go, right? So practice is this idea, repeating the same task. Everybody say that, repeating the same task. Oh, that was really, really weak. Repeating the same task. In order to master it. Okay, you got it? Good. But since we need to practice, let's do it one more time, okay? All right, repeating the same task in order to master it. All right, so think of a skill that you've learned or a sport you've played or an activity that you've done that required this repetition, right? If you're like me, over time I grew to hate practice. Practice wasn't as fun as the performance or the game, right? And over time, it can be really tedious. Like, really? I have to dribble the ball through the cones again? Really? I have to dribble? Really? How many times do I have to shoot this thing, right? How many times do I have to pass this thing? How many wind sprints do I need to do? How many, like, drills do I have to do? Sometimes those drills are fun, and sometimes they're not. All right, so practice. And then discipline. Everybody say this. Focused self-control. And mental toughness. Mental toughness. To complete a task. All right, all together. Focus, self-control, and mental toughness to complete a task. What does that mean? If you have mental toughness, what does that mean? Okay, let's say you cause a penalty in the game. And if you don't have mental toughness, maybe that bugs you the rest of the game and it messes up your play, right? Ever been a part of a team where somebody on the team was easily distracted, okay? Or didn't know the play, or didn't know the position, or didn't know where to be, okay? Ever been in a competition and you were losing? If you have mental toughness, you might have the perseverance to come back and win, right? If you don't have mental toughness, you look at the scoreboard and you're like, oh, man. And in your mind, you've already given up. Probably not going to win that match. Right, so for some examples, the ref makes a bad call. It could distract you. The other team cheats, but the refs don't see it and don't call it. Could distract you. Your own teammates get annoying while you're competing or playing or doing the activity or singing or doing the performance. Or they come in at the wrong time or they miss their cue. It could get annoying, right? You could lose your focus, right? Wow. Okay, so you need to have some mental toughness to pay attention to what I'm saying, or you might just get bored and drift off and stare at your hand and look at what color the veins are. Thank you for that, Rachel. Okay. All right, be honest. Have you ever had to have mental toughness to listen to someone talk? I have. I've been in a lot of churches, and even our own church, I can get bored in the service. I can stand up here and teach you, and I can get bored of myself. You know it's a bad lesson when that happens, right? Yeah. That's when I just start throwing stuff, right? All right, you guys, be honest, though. In your mind, isn't this really true, that it's hard to be competent at stuff, and without practice and discipline, we usually aren't very good at it, okay? I mean, from the smallest thing to learning how to, like, do handwriting and write your name and do the alphabet to, like, big complex things like trying to do engineering and mathematics and build something complicated or do robotics or computer engineering or are you with me? Like, you can get, like, some of that stuff gets to really be really high level. So for us, I want you to take a look at this bridge. This bridge was not built easily or overnight, right? But check out what are some of the railings on the bridge, right? So if we're doing athletics, up here you got sit-ups, push-ups, running, lifting, sit-ups, push-ups, running, lifting, sit-ups, push-ups, running, lifting, all the way down builds the railing on that bridge, right? If you look down here, conditioning, this big, huge, arcing thing, right? Conditioning, how many like conditioning? It's just running and running and running and running. Maybe you like conditioning. Personally, I hated conditioning, okay? The coach was like, sweet, run laps. Just run laps until I feel like you're done running laps. And we would just run with all your football gear on and just sweat your guts out until the coach felt like we had conditioned enough, right? Or I don't know if they call this anymore. We used to do suicide drills, right? You're not killing yourself, but it feels like you're killing yourself because you're running yourself to death, right? You go down 5 yards, come back 10 yards, 20 yards, 30 yards, 40 yards, 50, all the way down the field, all down and back, down and back. I don't know if your coaches did this. We had to do up-downs. where you're running and running and running, and then you have to like hit the ground and then get back up. And you can do it while you're just standing in a row, or you can do it while you're doing suicides. So we would do suicides, and then whenever he blew his whistle, he had to do an up down in the middle of the thing. Oh my gosh, like half the team pukes, right? At least mine did. Can I do that one more time? No thanks. I think I hurt my knee there. All right, skill drills. Look, skill drills. Skill drills, whatever your activity or thing might be, whether it's baseball or basketball or football, or whether it's drama practice or music or band or symphony or whatever you're into, that doing some skill type of drill is a part of practice. Some skill drills are super fun, okay? Some, like, are super, super tedious and difficult. Like, we had one in football practice where it was just go and smash into the other guy and force them backward, or they're going to force you backward, okay? And half the time, it was like a stalemate. And the coach wouldn't let it be a stalemate. You just had to go and go and go and go until one guy got pushed past his line or you got pushed past your line, right? I hated that drill. Well, then you don't start in the game. So, like, how you do in that drill determines whether the coach thinks you're, you know, putting your all effort into it, right? All right, so skill drills. That was just one of them. And then do you see that down here on these up and down planks to build the bridge? Practice discipline, practice discipline, practice discipline, all the way down, right? So can you picture that in your head that you're, let's say you're trying to become a good athlete, and that's way over here. And you start here, I'm not such a good athlete, and then you're moving this direction, building that in your life. Question? There were days, certainly, that I felt like giving up. Actually, my entire sophomore year of football, I wanted to quit. I wasn't on the freshman team because the freshmen had their own team. I wasn't on the varsity team, so I was in the middle. I played JV. I played special teams for varsity, but it was like I didn't have a spot. And I was basically a blocking dummy for the seniors. Like, got hurt that year, didn't want to persevere. Talked to my dad. I was like, Dad, I want to quit. This isn't fun anymore, right? And it was this, and he's like, you know what, dude? I want you to persevere in this. It's going to get better. I don't want you to give up on it right now. And, like, sophomore year was horrible. Junior year got better. Senior year was super fun. Okay? He was right. But, yes, I felt like quitting a lot of different times. All right. So, anyway, that's this picture of athletics, right? So I thought it would be good if we watched a movie clip from the movie Blindside. I don't know if you guys have seen it. It came out a while back. Basically, it's about this guy named Big Mike. Big Mike is really, really big. He's actually a high school student, I think, in that picture. Yeah, big guy. Big guy. Here's the funny thing. Big Mike didn't know how to play football. Stereotype, big black guys all know how to play football, right? Not true. So he had to learn how to play ball, right? So you're going to watch a clip of him going to training practice and trying to figure out how to play this game, even though everybody assumed that he could, right? All right. So discipline, practice, training. Any of you done any discipline, practice, training? Okay, me too. And I thought it might be fun if we had a little fun up on stage. So I'm going to invite 6 volunteers to come up in just a minute. But before we do, I want to tell you about football practice. When I was in football practice, our coach's name was Coach Black. He was a big white guy. It's kind of funny. Coach Black would ride us hard. And he was a little bit mean and tough. And after the game, most of the years I played, we did not have a winning record. Okay, we were lucky to go 5-5, and the coach would ride us hard. And he would, after the game, usually if we lost, it was because of one of these 3 things. He would say this: why did we lose the game? And he would either say that we had too many mental mistakes. So if you know, in football, everybody comes up to the line, and no one's allowed to move, like budge an inch, until the ball moves. So all you have one job to do if you're on the line. You stare at the ball. How hard is that? You stare at the ball. When the ball moves, you go. Okay? But people can't do it. And people don't watch. And people try to guess and anticipate and try to get a jump on the ball. And so most of the time, if you have an offsides penalty, it's because somebody moved before the ball was moved. How hard is it to watch a ball? And when the ball moves, you go. It's super basic, okay? But mental mistakes, or forgetting the play. You're supposed to run right, and you ran left instead. You went this way, and the quarterback went this way. Or you went to run a route up the field and to the outside, and the quarterback threw it the other way. And there's, like, miscommunication, mental mistakes, okay? Lack of discipline. There was one game in particular that I ended up having a lot of penalties personally. Okay, I had a holding call. I had an offsides call, something else. I ended up racking up like 15 yards of penalties for our team. Okay, and our coach had a rule. After the game, however many yards of penalties you had to run 100 bear crawls for every 5 yards of penalties. Okay, so I had to run at 15 yards worth of penalties. I had to run 300 yards worth of bear crawls, which is three times the field, down and back and down again. After the game, which you're already tired, right? In full gear. So I got my pads on, and bear crawls was like that for 100 yards. Like 300, oh my gosh, I felt like barfing. Like my arms were exhausted, my legs were, this was after the game, right? So it was this lack of discipline. Okay, I shouldn't have been grabbing the guy's jersey and holding him, right? I shouldn't have been offsides and jumping. I could just watch the ball. The ball goes, you go, it's so hard to do sometimes, right? And then lack of basic fundamentals. Our team, whether you messed up on one of these three things, couldn't catch the ball, couldn't tackle, or couldn't throw the ball. Okay? If you mess up on one of those three things, you're probably not going to win the game. If your receivers don't catch it, if your quarterback can't throw it right, and if people can't tackle, then in football, you're not going to win, right? So discipline and practice. So here's what I'm going to do. We're going to invite some people up here. So who digs on some basketball? I saw Daniel's hand. Daniel, come on up here for some basketball. Cool. Who wants to try water skiing? You have to go barefoot. You want to go barefoot? Okay. You're going to be up on that square. Grab that ball. Okay. Who wants to do some snowboarding? Snowboarding? All right. I saw Devin's hand over there. Devin, come up for some snowboarding. What else do I have? I have golf. Do we have anybody who likes some golf? Golf. And how about snow skiing? Snow skiing, I see that hand. I'm missing, oh, baseball. Anybody like baseball? Baseball, right there, okay? We got it, okay? So let's give them just a couple minutes. I want you to put on your gear. Put on your boots, strap into your thing, and we're going to walk through it. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come around and tell you what I want you to do. And we're going to start with Daniel, okay? And all of these sports or activities are things that I learned growing up. Some of them I was good at, some of them I wasn't. So we're going to start with basketball. And Daniel, I heard a coach explain it this way if you want to be a good shooter, okay? So you're going to hold the pizza. Put the ball in your hand. Pizza. Everybody say pizza. Okay, they're going to bend your knees and go rocket ship. And then you're going to go cookie jar. Yep, it'll just throw it up like you're going to shoot and then catch it. All right, let's see it again. Pizza. Rocket ship. Oh, you got to get your other hand up there. There you go, guide hand, yeah. Cookie jar. There you go. That's your shot, okay? Everybody say that with him. Pizza. Rocket ship. Cookie jar. Okay, so you want to be good at basketball? Coach might tell you to do this. Shoot 100 foul shots a day. Just go out to the driveway, go out to the park, go out to the gym, shoot 100 foul shots a day, and by the end of 6 months, you'll be a great shooter, okay? Go do that, yeah. No, are you with me, though? Repetition, practice, discipline, yeah. How many shots would that be, okay? And it might sound like a lot, but it goes quick, 100 shots a day, okay? All right, cool. All right, so golf, let's go to golf. Basketball, snow skiing, let's do snow skiing, okay. So believe it or not, my parents took me snow skiing at about age 4 or 5. And by age 8 or 9, I got decent at it. One of the main things they want to teach you when you're beginning snow skier is to do the snow plow. All right, the snow plow is making a V. So you're going to take your skis and make the point, yep, like a V, okay? You're going to kick that one out, okay? And here's what you want to do. You want to rock the ski so it's on its inside edge, okay? Rock it so it's on its inside edge, and then you're pushing out with your heels, okay? That position will slow you down and save your life, okay? And so what you do is you learn to ski by, if you want to go faster, you make them more straight. You want to slow down, you bring them back to that point. Make like a pizza shape, okay? Snow plow. And then you're going to start to, you would follow somebody and you would do S-curves across the big face of the mountain, okay? Push harder, you'll break quicker, okay? bring them back closer together and straight, you'll go faster. Okay? Need to bail out? Sit down. Okay? Sit down. Need to bail out? Just sit down. Okay? Well, you get the idea. Okay? So over and over and over again, learning how to snow ski, learning the snow plow was like fundamental. All right? What's our next one? Snowboarding. Okay. Snowboarding. Devin's got the snowboard. I snow skied for probably 15 years. And then at about age 22, 23, I wanted to try something new. So I wanted to pick up snowboarding. Went out to Colorado on a trip. Got a snowboard at Play It Again Sports. Went out to Colorado. I wanted to learn how to snowboard. Okay? Must have fallen 50 times. Okay? I'm about to quit. It's so, so frustrating. When I finally decide to follow some other guy and force myself to turn when he turned and go where he went. And like I had like much, much, much more success. But here's what the struggle for me was. Devin's got good balance and he's done some snowboarding and some surfing and stuff. But growing up, I was a skateboarder. Can you believe it or not? I had a skateboard, right? A couple of them actually. And in skateboarding, you would put your weight on your back foot, and you would turn kind of with your front foot and get some momentum, obviously push. But I got used to this position where I'm leaning back, okay? When I needed to learn to snowboard, it defies logic in your brain. That in order to turn, you need to put all your weight on your downhill leg, your front leg, okay? Which means you're like leaning down the hill, which is your body doesn't want to do that. Yeah, and so Devin's right. He's fishtailing with his back leg is how you steer. So you put all your weight on your front leg and you swing your back leg to steer the snowboard, okay? But in my mind, I wanted to steer it with my front leg, but that's not how you do it. So it took me a long time to break my old skateboarding mental whatever to learn how to turn and steer and to fight the desire to not lean down the hill. All right, so snowboarding. What is baseball? Baseball. All right, so Lynn, are you any good at catching ground balls? I'm gonna put you back there, okay? And I'm just gonna roll some to you, okay? All right, is it the wrong finger, hand, glove for you? All right, so we'll give you some grace, all right? So we're just gonna have you fetch some ground balls. All right, look, she's got good form. See, I'm gonna keep doing it. Yeah. All right, watch her get this ground ball, okay? She gets low, she goes all the way down, she keeps her eyes on it. And here's for baseball. You know what the thing for me was? I would go 75% of the way to the ground, and the ball would roll under my glove. Okay? And it took discipline to, like, get your glove on the dirt, on the ground to get that ball, right? So she's going to do it again. Look, she's getting all the way down. She's got their hand. Oh, yeah, it's awesome. Very good form. All right, give her a round of applause. Very nice. All right, so coach was like, dude, you've got to get your glove on the ground, right? Because I was missing ground balls. Wasn't that great at baseball? Let's see, golf. How many of you are not putt-putt, but like real golfers? A few of you? Okay. You might relate. My problem was I like to watch where the ball goes. Because it's cool when it goes where you want it to go, right? So, Leah, are you a golfer? Have you done much golfing? So. All right, so I want you to line up for a shot, okay? You're lining up for a shot. And you want to have your thumbs up and down on the grip. You got that right. And you want your left arm to be locked, stiff. Okay, this one, lock this elbow. Okay, yeah, like there you go. Yeah. And then you're going to pull back for a swing. And then you're going to swing. And then you did what I did, and you wanted to watch where it was going to go, right? So here's what they were telling me in golf. Here, I'm going to grab the club from you. Who knows what I'm going to say? Keep your head down. Yeah. Keep your head down, and you'll hit the ball, right? All right, that's better. That's better. So if you're a golfer, anybody ever top the ball, shank the ball, slice the ball, miss the ball, or go too deep and take a huge chunk of grass out of the ground? Yeah. Ken's like, never. All right, water skiing. Where's my water skier? Okay, water skiing. Last one. Okay. Growing up, my family had a boat, and in the summertime, we would go out to the lake and learn to water ski at about age 8. Which was pretty fun. But they had a technique to teach us, my parents did, in the boat. And it was called the rocking chair technique, okay? So I want you to pretend that you're in the water and your skis are on and that you're sitting in a rocking chair, okay? So we're going to let Justin hold that rope. Okay, I want you to sit, pretend like you're in a rocking chair. You got to get lower. Like, yeah, like you're in a rock. Like, and then freeze like that. Freeze. Like, it kind of hurts a little bit. Okay, you're going to freeze like that. And then you just let the boat pull you up. Okay? So they would say, most people, you know what they want to do? They want to pull themselves up out of the water, right? And they bend their arms and they try to pull themselves up to get up out of the water. But the secret is, that was the technique. So rocking chair technique. You try it again. So go all the way low and then let Justin pull you up to your feet. And then a lot of people do a nosedive, right? So you want to work on going up evenly. There you go. Fantastic. All right, give all of our volunteers a round of applause. All right, you can take your gear off. All right, so raise your hand if you've ever done one of those sports that you saw up there. Yeah? 1 through 6, done on any of those? Cool. All right, so I want you to think about an activity that you've done. And maybe a coach or a teacher or a music professor, somebody who taught you a skill, okay? Maybe you had good ones. Maybe you had some bad ones, right? But in the back of your head somewhere is some type of skill drill or technique or thing that they told you, one of these things that I told you, remember, keeping your head down or putting your weight on your front foot, doing the snow plow, doing the rocking chair, doing the pizza, rocket ship, cookie jar. Somewhere in your head, you might have a technique or a way to do the thing that you guys like to do in your head, right? Here's the crazy thing. We've been talking a lot about athletics, but what does all this have to do with our faith, right? So what does it look like to take this bridge principle, that personal discipline is like a bridge that crosses from where you are to where you want to be? How do you do that with God, with your faith? So here are some examples that I was thinking of, that sometimes it takes discipline and practice with your words, with your thoughts, and with your actions, right? So what would it look like to have discipline over the things you say? Do you say everything that just comes to your mind that might get you in some trouble? Just might, okay? It might be hilarious, but it might be completely rude too, okay? What does it look like to have discipline over your tongue, over your mouth, over the things that you say? Whether you're cussing or not, whether you're being rude or not, making fun of someone or not, being sarcastic or not, right? Doesn't it take a little bit of self-control to like not just let your mouth go? Some of you aren't good at that. You don't have a filter or you don't have self-control and you need to get some, okay? Or maybe it's with your thoughts. What does it look like to have discipline in your thought life that you don't just let your mind go crazy, okay? What does that look like? Well, maybe you discipline what you allow yourself to watch or see. Or maybe you discipline your mind like, all right, I've got some negative thoughts, or I feel like harming myself, or I feel like harming others, or maybe it's like sexual fantasies. You just got stuff in your mind. You're like, you've been looking at stuff on the internet or some magazines you shouldn't be, and your mental process is not disciplined. Or maybe it's actions and how you behave. Maybe you need to stop hitting people. Maybe you got brothers and sisters in the house, and your way to deal with them is to slap them around, okay? Maybe it's an anger thing that you've got to work on not being a violent person, okay? Maybe it's other actions. Maybe it's, hey, you need to be disciplined about what you eat. Maybe you eat too much, or maybe you don't eat enough, okay? And it's about taking care of your body. Or maybe it's exercise. Maybe you don't exercise, or maybe you exercise like way too much, but taking care of your body. Maybe it's just like something simple like personal hygiene. Wearing deodorant, brushing your teeth, getting a shower, taking care of yourself. Maybe you aren't disciplined with that. Maybe it's doing your homework. Maybe you have no discipline or self-control when it comes to getting your work done. You get home from school and you are so sick and tired of school that you don't give a rip anymore and you don't do your work for the next day. Maybe it's being on time. Maybe you are a lazy, slow person and you just have a struggle to be anywhere on time, you know? Or maybe it's with God. Maybe it's discipline to spend time with God, to pray or read your Bible, okay? Or maybe it's applying what you already know God wants you to be doing, but you're not doing it. So here's a question for you. Where do you struggle with being disciplined? That's going to be a question in your group later. Think about it. Where do you struggle with being disciplined? All right, so we're going to move ahead. Here's what God says in 1 Corinthians. Paul's talking. He says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should, which kind of goes along with some of the sports stuff we've been talking about. But then it goes on in Proverbs and says, a person without self-control is as defenseless as a city with broken down walls. What does that mean? What's a city with broken down walls? Is it going to keep the armies out that are going to come attack it? Nope. And that's saying that your life is like that. If you don't have discipline in your life or self-control, that your life is wide open for trouble, right? Here's what else that God says in Hebrews. Let someone else read it. I'm kind of tired of hearing my voice.
For our earthly fathers discipled us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always right and good for us because it means we will share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It is painful. But afterward, there will be a quiet harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way.
All right, everybody say this. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. All right, you know, in this context, it's talking about, like, being, getting in trouble and being disciplined. Like, let's say your parents ground you. Or when you're little, maybe you got a spank. It's like that kind of discipline or correction. What does it look like if we get corrected? Does anybody like being corrected in that kind of a way? Oh, be honest. When you were little, did you like getting spanked? No. Did you like having a timeout in the corner? Did you like having your cell phone or your video games or your whatever taken away? Do you like not being able to go hang out with your friends because you're in trouble? No. Nobody likes discipline like that, right? It's painful. It hurts. It's hard. Either physically, your butt's on fire because it hurt, or like emotionally, you're like mad at your mom and dad because you can't go hang with your friends and have your electronic stuff, okay? This kind of discipline. But I think it's also true for the discipline that we're talking about, the discipline to do something repeatedly and to learn it well and to do it well. Anybody hate practicing something? Like, think of something that you just hate to practice. It's probably something you're not very good at because that's probably why you don't like to practice it, but it's probably why you need to practice, okay? Does anybody have anything they don't like to practice? Okay, what is it? What don't you like to practice? Anybody want to share? English, okay, hey, English class. Hey, English, yeah, just speaking English or doing English as a class? Okay, English in general, fair enough. Yeah. All right, somebody else, something you hate to practice. Math, don't like math, okay? Okay, learning to do your own hair. Sure, I get that. Easier to have somebody else do it for you. My arms get tired. Okay. Yeah, sure. Well, I remember not liking practice but really enjoying the competition or the game or whatever. And sometimes going to run, going to do the push-ups and the sit-ups and the lifting and the conditioning just over time just got really, really tiring. Here's the deal, though. Check this out. If we transition from sports and athletics and competitions to our faith. Now look at these slats along the bridge and the things that make up the structure that hold it up underneath, right? So now you've got what? You got prayer, the Bible, applying it, prayer, the Bible, applying it, prayer, Bible, applying it. Are you with me? You want to grow in your walk with God? Then start doing some of these small disciplines, right? Praying to God, reading your Bible, applying it to your life. Praying to God, reading your Bible, applying it to your life. That same cycle over and over and over again. After a year of that, you'll be a fundamentally a different person. You'll have grown. You'll have deeper character. You'll have a deeper connection with God. Are you with me? You'll be becoming more mature. It's good. All right, so what's underneath? Practice, discipline. How do we do that? How do we have practice and discipline in our faith? Well, you got these core things at the bottom, loving God and loving people. And then you repeat that. What does it look like to love God with your actions, with your heart, with your choices? And you do it over again and over again and over again. You know why? Because we're slow learners sometimes. And because if we want it to become a habit, we've got to keep repeating it, right? All right, so I want to read to you from Tim Elmore's book, Habitudes, about the discipline bridge. All right, check this out. He says this. As a boy growing up in Cincinnati, Ohio, my scariest moment happened when a fierce tornado ripped through our little suburban neighborhood. You guys picture that? My mom and dad demanded we rush down to the basement, where I immediately discovered how to pray passionately. The wind howled and the rain poured down, and we watched debris fly across our backyard from our small basement windows. Bicycles, patio grills, lawn chairs. I even remember seeing a boat take flight. The rain was so heavy it caused flooding in the streets everywhere. It was the worst natural disaster that little town had seen in decades. And over the next week, rescue workers were everywhere attempting to restore what had been demolished. One particular scene sticks in my memory. It was a building that had caved in and desperately needed repair. However, the rain had flooded the property, making it impossible for workers to get to it on foot. Interestingly, they built a bridge to the damaged building in order to repair it. I remember seeing scores of little bridges in this disaster areas. The bridges enabled the workers to get from where they were to where they wanted to go to fix the damage. All right, can you guys see where we're going with this, right? It says, what a fitting analogy for leaders. Many times our own character has caved in, and it could be due to a disaster, our own personal tornado. Symptoms of the damage may be subtle. It may be that we lost a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or it may be financial debt or our grades failing in school. It might even be anxiety or emotional depression. But inside, we feel like we're crumbling, caving in, and we need help. All right, so here's what he goes on to say. This is where it comes to fit where you're at. Here's what I have noticed in my life, okay? The discipline is like those bridges that help me get to where I need to go in order to repair the damage that I need in my life. So I need to build a bridge of discipline to get me there. In fact, anytime I need to get somewhere difficult, discipline is usually the bridge I must cross to get there. Here's what I know about the discipline bridge. It takes time and effort to build it. But once the bridge is in place, it actually makes the journey easier, and I can get back and forth with ease. You guys get that? That even in our walk with God, even in our faith, not just in sports and athletics and other things, but it requires, our faith requires some discipline and some practice. And maybe you're not going to be great at it following God right away. And maybe you're new to the faith, or maybe you've just kind of, I don't know, maybe you're young in the faith and you need to take some steps to mature and grow. How are we going to do that? Those things up on there are some good ways to make that happen. All right, would somebody read this one? 1 Peter 1.
So think clearly and exercise self-control. Obey God because you are his children. Don't slip back into your old ways of doing evil. You didn't know any better then. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose to be his children is holy.
All right, you guys grab that? So think clearly and exercise self-control, it says. Obey God because you are his children. And how many of you have ever done this? Don't slip back into your old ways of doing things, your old ways of doing evil. I've slipped back into old ways, old patterns, old behaviors, old words, old actions, old friends, old, you guys with me? Like your old way of life, the God's like, no, man, don't go back. Move forward and choose holiness. Choose right living. You know what's funny? I've coached soccer for the last 6 or 7 years for my kids, and you know what? Almost every practice, we run laps and exercise and stretch and do all that kind of skill drills and stuff. But when we run laps, you know what happens almost every single practice? They cut the corners. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. I've gotten in trouble, yeah, for cutting corners too. So, but here's the thing. My soccer teams almost always lack personal discipline to be able to run outside the cones and outside the lines to be able to run a lap without cutting off the corners, right? But I'm trying to teach them something about life and about soccer, okay? That there's boundaries and that there's rules and that you need to follow those or you're not going to have good habits or good skills to play in the game. So if you don't have the self-control to stay inside the field lines, then you're probably going to dribble the ball out of bounds and the other team's going to get it, right? So you've got to be able to stay on the playing field. Just the same way, they need to be able to run and not cut the corners. But the temptation, you guys, for us in life is, have you ever cut corners on your homework? Have you ever cut corners in your faith? Ever cut corners on your friendships or on telling the truth to mom and dad? Or ever cut corners on your responsibilities or what you're supposed to be doing? Or you do the half job instead of the full job? Are you with me? Like you're vacuuming a room, it's really easy to not hit the corners. Just vacuum the middle and be done, okay? It's really easy to clean your room and just chuck stuff under your bed, throw stuff in the closet, and not really clean much, except for maybe move the clutter to a different place that had more clutter, right? It's easy to like shove stuff under the rug. It's easy to tell the white lie, easy to cut the corner and be lazy in our character and lazy in our faith. So raise your hand if you ever cut the corner or been lazy in your life. Okay? Yeah. So what happens when we start to do that in real life in other dangerous ways? What if we do that when we're driving? We decide, oh, I'm not really going to stop all the way at this red light, or I'm not really going to stop at this stop sign. Or you, right? Either you get a ticket or you cause an accident, okay? Or maybe you get away with it and it starts a bad pattern where you're like, hey, look, I don't really have to stay on my side of the road. I'm going to go on this side of the yellow line. All right, are you with me? Like, over time, all right, raise your hand if you've ever seen a driver make up their own rules for the road, okay? Yes. Okay, absolute worst time I've seen that. You want to know what it was? I was in London, England. My dad told the cab driver that we were late to see the play. He said, I'll give you a big tip if you get us there on time. The dude drove straight up on the sidewalk and made people jump off the sidewalk, and he just gunned it. Okay? I'm not kidding at all. Like, I don't, yeah, it was ridiculous. Cool thing is, got there on time. Okay? Thought we were going to die. Thought he was going to run over somebody for sure. Right? I'm like 8 years old in the back of this cab going, this is awesome! This guy's psycho! Yeah, right? Okay. But here's the thing. When people start to make up their own rules, it's dangerous. Sometimes it's exciting, but it's dangerous, right? So here's the deal. In our own lives, we're tempted to make excuses, tempted to be lazy, tempted to cut corners in our faith. And let me urge you, hey, stop it. Stop cutting the corners. Stop being lazy. Start being disciplined and exercise some self-control. Close with this. God says this, for the grace of God has been given or revealed to all of us, bringing salvation to all people, and we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this world, in this evil world, with self-control, right conduct, and devotion to God. Why? Because he's given us grace and love, and he wants us to follow him. So that's all. Would you guys pray with me? God, I know it's not easy, and I'm with these guys. Sometimes I don't want to be self-controlled. I don't want to be disciplined. I just want to relax and chill and not care much. But God, you don't want us to live that way. Would you help us to be teenagers who live a disciplined life, who have self-control over the areas of our life, and more importantly, that we exercise those things with our faith? God, would you help us to get into the Word? Help us to pray to you. Help us to apply it and repeat that cycle over and over, and help us to grow in our faith. God, help us with our character, that we could be people of character. Help us not to be lazy and to cut corners, but to be truthful and honest and to do our best. In